I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
Today's Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, Bill Curry Ford, and Pin Chasers with three Tampa area locations. Now, at Buffalo Wild Wings, they are presenters of the Ira Kaufman World Tour. That's what we're calling it. You can watch the game with Ira at your local B-dubs. The next event, Thursday, September 12th. That's the Thursday night football game. Ira will be at the Riverview location with giveaways and all the great food and beer and fun at Buffalo Wild Wings. After that, the next event will be Sunday, September 29th, Bucks at the Rams in Los Angeles. But Ira will be in Oldsmar hanging out with you. It's a great time. Opening day was great in Wesley Chapel. We had an excellent crowd, a lot of fun, and it's only going to get better as the season goes along. Buffalo Wild Wings, thank you for your support and for sponsoring the Sage Road Tour.
Hey, Steve, tell us all about your friends at Pin Chasers.
Pin Chasers, Ira, where we're coming up on Thursday night, and that means drink specials and unlimited bowling. Unlimited bowling for just $10.99 starting at 9 p.m. and enjoy $1 Miller Lights while you bowl at any Pin Chasers location. Free shoes, as always. They'll even give you socks if you need them. Pinchasers.net is the website. You can reserve a lane there. Also, the Labor Day Marathon is back at Pin Chasers. What better way to spend Labor Day than bowling all day, if you want to, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. for just $12. Don't miss it. Pinchasers.net. Congratulations on 60 years to Pin Chasers. They're great servants in the community, and their three locations, Zephyr Hills on Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa, just north of the airport, and the Midtown location on Armenia, where Ira Kaufman will be hanging out later this season and for a special event that you'll be invited to.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the Ira Kaufman podcast. Now I got a slobber over you, Ira, the king of Newport Richie.
Killing you, DeKemp. It's killing you.
The custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the one and only, the royalty of our neighborhood, Ira Kaufman. Ira, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Lee. We're on the brink of the third preseason game. What does that mean? That means out of all the slop that they serve up in August, this is the tastiest slop, because maybe we'll get to see these freaking guys play more than a couple of series.
The entree?
We'll see. We shall see. Lee, I think there's several guys, and we will discuss them in this podcast, that I would like to see, certainly for a half, and I'll start it off right now. Alex Kappa. Is there any reason that Alex Kappa has to sit down midway through the first quarter?
Yeah.
He needs snaps. He needs experience. And I know what you're going to say. Wait a minute, Ira. What if Kappa goes down? Well, you got the Earl of Watford right behind him, Lee.
There you go. I don't disagree with what you're saying, but for the reason, you know, you look at those Bucks reserves, they're horrid. I wouldn't want any of those guys hurt. That's why, you know, and that's a valid question what you say about he needs work. And he does. You know, he didn't get much work last year. He needs those snaps. But then again, is the risk worth the reward? In my eyes, no. Well, first off, should these guys play? Blanket statement, none of them should play. I'm anti-preseason
football.
Wow,
look at you.
Yeah, I'm anti. I think it's a... Well, forget about the finances. That's a scam. NFL is the only level of football that has preseason games. You can't tell me those are needed. Does the NFL need an expanded regular season? I would say yes. Do they need an expanded playoffs, which they're talking about in the CBA negotiations? I would say no. Don't water down the playoffs. Do they need a preseason? Absolutely not.
Now, Lee, how do you make judgments on your bubble guys and your fifth-round draft picks and your free agents? You don't like underwear football.
No.
In terms of, would you do more joint practices?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and Arians, to me, Arians sealed the deal for me.
Arians likes the joint practice.
Yeah, Arians said, you know, the reason why the first team guys didn't play much against Miami, he said they got so much work in the joint practices. Well, that's all I needed to know. And, well, then these preseason games are a joke.
And there's etiquette. There's etiquette and protocol in the joint practices. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, Friday night, you don't know if Myles Garrett is going to try to rip off Donovan Smith's head. You don't know, especially young guys trying to make the team. Mm-hmm. You know, they may not respect etiquette.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know I've said this before, and I know some fans get mad at me, and I'm just being honest. Outside of the Bucks, I do not watch preseason football whatsoever. Like someone on Twitter, oh, did you see it the other night? Like, no.
No.
No, I didn't. I'm just anti-preseason football. I watch the Bucks closely. Other than that, I don't watch exhibition NHL. I don't watch exhibition.
I'm not going to get on you because, first of all, you don't even want to watch the NBA playoffs, and that I smack you around. I'm not going to say anything about you not watching NFL preseason. Mm-hmm. And, Lee, it's getting worse.
Yes,
it is. It's getting worse. Now, before the first preseason game, you got guys saying, I'm not playing in the preseason. And if they're a star and they have stature, who the hell's going to argue with them?
Yeah.
You know, like they're calling their own shots.
Mike Evans, I wouldn't put out on the field. He's dinged up. Next time he should see a field, September 8th.
I'm not sure Ndamukong Suh needs to play.
That's another guy. Sure. Yeah, he's in his 30s.
What do you do with Devin White, who you want to see a little more out of?
I think that's a valid...
Play him a half?
Yeah, more so him. But they're so thin, and the people they have, the reserves, both the offense and defense is bad. Outside of defensive back, which isn't saying a whole lot, this team's... Bad.
Derek Brooks, Lee, I did something with him this week, and one guy that he pointed out, you know, I don't know how much snaps he's going to get during the regular season, he thinks Devontae Bond's got some value. He likes Devontae
Bond. Well, you know what I've always said about Devontae Bond, and people mock me for it? He may be the best tackler on the team.
Form tackle.
Yeah,
form tackle.
I mean, form tackle, fundamentally.
And Brooks loves that. Brooks loves that.
I do too. But you know, if you get right down to it, who should be seeing a lot of snaps? The reserves, because they need it. This team is thin as ice. Outside of maybe defensive back, outside of tight end, this team is so razor thin.
And Lee, we're not far away from what is, I think, a very significant part of this entire process, which is cut down day. Not so much about the Bucks and the bubble guys and. Every freaking coach in the NFL says the same thing. Oh, we got brutal decisions to make. This ain't the LA Rams over here.
Yeah, like, but
you know what I'm saying?
It's brutal because you're ending someone's dream.
Yeah, but
so
it's not brutal because you got an embarrassment of riches.
You know what
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So my point about that weekend is, Lee, I don't think any team is going to be looking more closely at that freaking cut wire than this team.
They need to.
Now, Lee, do they have the financial wherewithal to jump in and get some of these veterans?
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. You know, I think a lot more like than people think. Anybody that's watched these preseason games with the Bucks, and I'm sorry if you have, but there's no question the second and third teams, there's a drop-off, and it's bad. Is that evidence of a team in salary cap hell? That their reserves are bad?
I think so. I think it's a reflection of it. It's one of them. You wisely manage. And Lee, here's the thing that kills Buck fans, and I don't blame them one bit. You had all those years of Winston when he wasn't making $20 million. You got to make hay.
Yes.
You got to make hay those years and build your roster. So there's not this major drop-off. I dare say in New England, you don't have this major drop-off. Now, maybe Belichick masks some of these, you know, deficiencies.
Oh, he absolutely does.
He absolutely does. And you know, for example, that offensive lineman, line coach, Skarnecki, he's the best in the business.
Yeah.
He's a guy who was out of football for a year, and then when Belichick begs you to come back, you're doing something right.
You know what? I thought of this today, and you teed me up here. I thought of this today, and your favorite subject is the offensive line.
Yes.
And I know you don't like the offensive line. I'm not saying this is a good offensive line, but I don't think it's you know, enough to go run out in traffic.
But you don't like the depth.
There's no depth. The last time the Bucks had a good offensive line, Chucky?
I would say 0-2, certainly it was good. It was good.
Okay.
Because by the postseason, they were scoring points, the Bucks. Davin Joseph.
Yeah, yeah.
Davin was solid player.
But you know what? The last time they had a solid offensive line that I don't think fans whined about, well, maybe. I'm not talking down to fans. I'm just saying every city you go to, people whine about the offensive line. And it's natural, I think it's. I think you could argue legitimately that the Bucks had a solid offensive line that most people wouldn't complain about it was when Bill Muir and Chucky were here.
That's fair enough. And guess what? They were making the playoffs.
The playoffs.
05, 07 playoffs. Even 08, they went 9-7, Lee.
Didn't True Blood fall off the map when Muir left?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like rapid descent.
Muir was a cranky guy. You know what's funny about Muir? One time I was talking to him, it was probably 2002, 2003. It was before Joe Buck's fan ever got developed. Wasn't even a twinkle in your eye, Lee. And I'm talking to Muir about something, and in the middle of one of his answers, he goes, you know, and who cares about that? Joe Bag of Donuts? And I never forgot that, because I never heard that. Joe Bag of Donuts. And, you know, a few years later, here comes Joe Buck's fan. And you could have picked any name. Could have been Tom Buck's fan, William Buck's fan. No, you picked Joe Buck's fan. And I got to give Muir the credit. Now, Lee, interesting team coming to town Friday night. I'm not looking for 50,000 people at Ray J. Not going to happen, and I understand that. You look around the league, Lee, there's a lot of empty stands in August.
There should be.
I remember a game in Washington a couple of weeks ago. They were showing there was nobody in the crowd. I mean, nobody.
Is that right?
So, interesting team, Lee. A lot of people in Vegas. A lot of money coming in on the Browns.
Really?
Even though, you know, the over-under might be 9 on the Browns. It's never been 9 as far back as you and I can remember. It's usually 5 or 6.
Uh-huh.
And I think the Bucks are now up to 6-5. Because some money's coming in on the Bucks.
When's the last time the Bucks were at 9?
A long time. But probably when Gruden got Gruden got fired. Lee, are you buying the hype on Baker Mayfield and the boys with a rookie head coach who's never done anything in this league? And Kitchens, I believe Kitchens is calling the plays, not Todd Monken, who did a nice job here doing it for Dirk Cutter. They've got Odell Beckham. But, Lee, they haven't done anything to justify this hype right now, and sometimes hype can sink a team.
Well, we sure saw that last year, right?
And we sure saw it with the 2017 Bucks.
Yeah,
with the hard knocks and everything.
Yeah. I think a lot of people want the Browns to do well. They're tired of seeing the Ravens. They're tired of seeing the Steelers. They want to see the Browns. You know, everybody likes an underdog.
And that's a good sports town, Lee. It's a good sports town.
It's a very good sports town, yeah. Baker Mayfield has an engaging personality, and people are like, I don't want to hear about personality. Well, Joe Bag of Donuts fan, they like personality. That's what NFL wants personality because the NFL knows that sells. Otherwise, there wouldn't be all these press conferences. The NFL knows what it's doing. That's why these guys are billionaires. They know what they're doing.
Now, if things are going well, Lee, I'll say it right now. Beckham will be productive. If they start 2-5, he could check out. A guy like Beckham.
Yeah, because
I don't trust him when things are going bad.
You know what? In a way, I feel bad for Todd Monken. I mean, he's got a lot of weapons to work with, but he's got a loose cannon.
A diva.
Just like DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
Only difference is I think Beckham backs it up, with DeSean Jackson. Someone was talking on a previous podcast. I told you on Tuesday morning, a hardcore, nutty, great, I mean, can't get enough Bucks information. This fan called me up. And he was saying, when's the last time DeSean Jackson was a decent receiver? Because people act like this guy's manna from heaven as a receiver. When's the last time he had a decent year? I said, I think the last time the Redskins were in the playoffs, he had a decent year. He's been pedestrian since then, but people fall over themselves. And Beckham backs it up. I mean, he's crazy.
He does.
He's a loose cannon, but he backs up. Whereas DeSean Jackson, nah.
Now you got Tim Brown entering the fray. With all his... Not Tim Brown. Antonio Brown. I always got...
Oh, my God.
Here comes Antonio Brown. Oh, my... He's got to be driving Gruden absolutely nuts. And, Lee, you noticed, he sent Mike Mayock. Get out there, Mike, and take a shot at Antonio Brown. Meanwhile, Gruden looks like the good guy. That's smart on Gruden's part.
Yeah, good cop, bad cop.
Because he's got to stay on the right side of Antonio Brown.
But you know Gruden better than anyone.
He gave me a happy birthday.
Hey, Ira Kaufman, this is John Gruden. I want to wish you a happy 65th birthday. It's hard to believe you're 65 because I thought you were 65 when I was coaching the Bucks. I thought you were 80.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Is he really, you think, behind the scenes, he's like pulling his hair out of Antonio Brown?
Absolutely.
Because I always thought he'd like that personality. He'd like those guys.
The personality, but he wants the guy in the freaking on the practice field.
Okay.
It's driving him crazy. Got to develop that chemistry with Derek Carr, their first year together. I think Antonio Brown's got juice left. I believe he scored 15 touchdowns last year.
Before he quit on the Steelers?
Before he quit. And what people are calling an off season. I had him in my fantasy league, so I watched him closely. He He had about six games where he did absolutely nothing. But the guy scored 15 touchdowns. Mike Evans scored 8. So let's not throw out Antonio Brown. If he gets the freaking foot healed, you know, with that cryo chamber, he's going to do some damage.
Have you ever heard of a football player having frostbitten feet?
Oh, my God.
That is
God.
Hysterical.
Oh,
I mean, it's serious, but I just think it's hysterical. I've never heard of that before. I mean, I've heard of a guy stuck out in the woods in Minnesota, trapped out somewhere, lost. Yeah, but I've never heard of a football player having frostbitten feet. I mean, the old Packers of the 60s, Ice Bowl, they didn't get frostbitten feet.
Lee, one more point I want to make about the Cleveland Marauders. As soon as I mentioned Cleveland, we got a little dash of thunder.
Cleveland Rocks.
Lee, and you know this for a fact, who's the only team in this National Football League that has a longer playoff drought than your Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Uno.
It's the Cleveland Browns.
The only one.
And if the Browns live up to reputation and somehow win that freaking AFC North, which they might, although Pittsburgh and Baltimore are formidable. I don't think Cincinnati's very good.
No.
But suppose they make the playoffs and your Bucs go 6-10. That'll leave your favorite little local team with the longest playoff drought. And that's not going to sit very well along Dale Mabry Boulevard. Nor should it,
Nor
Lee.
Should it.
Nor should it.
And this is a league built not to have droughts that long.
Parody, baby, parody.
Yeah, brought up chemistry. I'm glad you brought that up. Early on in training camp, I heard Bruce Arians say, you know, the first day or two, Perriman and Jameis, they had chemistry. And I remember Dirk Cutter. Someone asked Dirk Cutter about chemistry with the quarterback and is he developing it with DeSean Jackson. And Cutter said, chemistry is a funny thing. That's a direct quote. Chemistry is a funny thing. You can't force it. Sometimes it clicks. Sometimes it doesn't. And he said, he remembers when they brought Cam Braid in. He said, you could tell the first day, Jameis and Cam Braid clicked. He goes, they clicked right away. Well, now we hear Arians saying that about Perriman. And DeSean Jackson and Jameis, they tried and tried and tried. They couldn't develop chemistry. Now, part of it was DeSean Jackson didn't want chemistry with Jameis. He didn't want Jameis, period. But the fact that Arians came out in the middle of training camp and he said they had chemistry right away. What does that tell you?
Boy, it sounds like it's tough to define, Lee. It's sort of like chemistry in a romance, like me and my wife and you with the Buck cheerleader of your choice Rachel over
Watson.
There at the Kemper.
Hang
on. There you go.
There's no chemistry.
What are we expecting, Lee? Because you and I both know, I believe they go to Dallas week 4. Ain't nobody going to play in that game. Ain't nobody. Regulars going to play in that game. How you feeling about your local football team with the Niners poised to come cross country and endure that heat? Tim McGraw at 2 o'clock. And by the way, it's pouring right now, and we don't stop this podcast.
No.
We keep going.
Yeah.
Lee?
No, if Elizabeth was here, he'd be freaking out.
He'd be packing that bag up and running into Panera Bread. Lee, is this team ready for the 49ers?
Possible. I'm bullish on Bruce Arians. The defense has to be better. I mean, can it be any worse?
I can't argue with that.
Yeah,
it's got to be better.
The defense has to be better. Now, I'm a honk for Jimmy GQ, Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm a honk. He went to my alma mater. I know where he drank. I know where he ate. He ate at the original Jimmy John's.
Apparently, he stunk the other night in their
game. Oh, my gosh. I'll say this real quick about Jimmy John's. I met the original Jimmy John while I was in college. We went to school together.
Whoa.
And he owned the original Jimmy John's. He worked behind the counter. He owned it. And that was the original Jimmy John's, Charleston, Illinois.
Wow.
And he was a big goofball. Well, now the goofball's a multi-millionaire.
Now he's got a yacht?
Yeah, now he's got a yacht. But I'll never forget that great big old blonde-haired guy. I walk up to order a sandwich. Hi, I'm Jimmy John. Like, hi, I'm Bozo the Clown.
So that was the original store.
The original store. He bought a sandwich shop in Charleston, Illinois and ran it while he was in college. And now look at it.
And he worked the counter.
Yes, he worked the counter. Like I went up to the counter, ordered a sandwich. Hi, I'm Jimmy John.
And so now there's hundreds, if not hundreds.
All over the country. All over the country.
We got plenty here in Tampa, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they make a good sandwich.
I like their bread. But anyway, with Garoppolo, like you said, he was horrible. I mean, if Jameis had the same kind of numbers, what, 1 of 6 with a pick?
But we're not going to read into the preseason.
Well, no, nor should you, but that was bad. And mind you, Garoppolo had a 5-interception practice.
Whoa.
The football doc, Dr. David Chow, used to be the...
He weighs in on everybody.
Yeah, because he's got a podcast. He makes money doing that. former team physician of the San Diego Chargers. He said this doesn't really surprise him because, you know, a quarterback, he's got to get used to that knee first. And once he gets used to the knee, so I hate to say this because I like Jimmy G. I've talked to him several times, but I hope he doesn't find that rhythm for a few weeks.
You're not saying there's a chance he doesn't start week one.
Oh, I think I guarantee he'll play barring an injury. But apparently, from what Dr. David Chow was saying, you know, you got to learn. You have to relearn to use that knee. You got to find out, and just it's a natural thing. Once you've blown a knee out, you're a little bit skittish. You know, okay, can I do this? Can I do that?
That's right.
You don't want to go through
it's
it
always
again.
In the back of your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Lee, one thing you and I talked about last week, we were in agreement. Isbitz represented the other side of the argument. I still think we were right. Talking about injuries and relatively speaking, how the Bucs are doing, we both thought, you know, all things considered, Arians really can't complain. He's got some niggling injuries. You know, Veya will be back at some point. Lavonte David, Justin Evans, we're not too sure about. But, you know, nothing that's major.
We don't know about Mike Evans. That's like on the horizon. That's kind of...
That better not be major.
Yeah.
Lee, I'm not sure that we knew at the time of that podcast. You look at a team like the Chargers. They just lost Derwin James. That's a major injury. He's out 3 freaking months,
yeah,
Lee.
Yeah.
You can't compare that to what's going on at one Buck Place.
No. You're absolutely right.
This guy's
right.
A pro bowler who you're not going to have till December.
Did you hear what he did? He had a screw in his ankle that was placed there. He got injured at Florida State. He bent the screw.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. He bent the screw. I can't imagine how painful that's got to be. He bent the screw.
What a great rookie year he had.
Yes.
And he's a guy a lot of Buck fans wanted the Bucks to take instead of Veya.
What's they were going to do?
And I'm not sure Veya's not going to be a very good player, Lee. And you're not saying that either.
No. I think that's I don't know if illogical is too strong of a word. That wasn't going to happen because they drafted Justin Evans the year before.
And you're not going to ever argue with the Bucks adding a defensive lineman. You're not. You're just not going to do it.
A lot more.
Yeah.
About Garoppolo having an ugly night. You know, he was facing arguably the best pass rush in the NFL. The Broncos. They're damn good.
They got Bradley Chubb and Von Miller.
Yeah.
That is a heck of a tandem.
And the Bucks don't have that.
By the way, Lee, that's the reason that Shaq Barrett hit free agency, because I just did a column on Barrett. As soon as they drafted Bradley Chubb, number 5 over, the kid had 12 sacks as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And they play a 3-4. As soon as they did that, and you can't blame them for not passing up Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
As soon as they did that, Barrett was toast. Lee, in Denver, he was a spot player who never was going to start again. I think he can be effective in Tampa. I think he's an important player.
Oh, he is an important player. You know, Steve Isbitz, the other Joe at JoeBucksFan.com, he's not with us today. But, Steve, he wrote a piece recently where he's like, get enough of this blitzing. You got to have 2 edge rushers, or at least 1. And I don't disagree with him. And so I keep hearing about blitzing. I'll tell you what Pat Kirwan said about blitzing. You hear Arians, you hear Light, you even hear Todd Bowles talk about, we're going to blitz.
We're coming from everywhere.
Yeah. Well, here's what Pat Kirwan said. Good luck blitzing Drew Brees up the middle.
He's faced it for 10 freaking years, and nobody's been able to put him on his ass.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think the Bucs are going to do it?
Exactly. There's stuff about, we're going to blitz. That's why we don't need to go out and get a pass rusher. I'm not buying it.
And Lee, one thing Buck fans better brace themselves for, and it's going to happen at times this season. It's going to happen. Lee, when you're ultra-aggressive, which you and I are on board because we don't like the 8 yards off, playing off.
Oh, my gosh.
We don't like that in the 72% completion percentage. That's for the birds. But Lee, the flip side, when you start blitzing David and Devin White consistently and you don't get there,
look out. Yeah.
Look out. That's gonna be a short pass that goes 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And Buck fans have to know that.
Well, we're on the subject, what do you do with JPP? Now, Monday, I saw JPP was uploading a video, or videos. He's still in a neck brace. I mean, do you go out and get a pass rusher and say bye-bye to I'm not a huge clowny guy. I think he's got limited shelf life.
I think he's a little overrated.
I think he's got limited shelf life because that knee has degenerative injury. Would you trade, let's say, a third-round pick for Clowney as a rental, a one-year rental, and wave goodbye to JPP?
So you're saying you don't have a long-term contract with the guy?
Yeah. Of course, he may not agree to a trade if he doesn't get that contract.
This JPP situation. situation is very murky. It's very murky, Lee. Would you be shocked if he never plays again?
I'd be shocked if he didn't play for the... Oh, no, no. I'll be shocked if he plays before December.
But would you be shocked if he never plays again?
For the Bucks, no.
In his NFL career?
I guess not, no, because you're talking a neck injury.
You know, this is not a couple of fingers. It's not.
It's not a turf toe.
And nobody's questioning the guy's toughness. You can't do it.
Oh, no way. Like Simeon Rice said, look what he went through. He blew off his hand and he came back and was dominant.
If they had him healthy, I'd feel a lot different about this team.
I agree. You know, I absolutely agree.
Lee, I'm going to see you Friday night for Buck fans to come out.
I'll tell you this. If the Bucks move the ball well in the first quarter, Lee, don't be shocked if all the regulars,
especially on offense, if they head to the sidelines by late in the first quarter.
What would you want to see with the defense?
Well, if Bowles is showing 10% of his hand, I want to see 20% of his hand.
Yeah, what I meant to say when I said the front seven, I should say the reserve front seven, the backup front seven. I mean, we know Lavonte's not going to play. We know that. But like I said earlier, this team has no depth. Make a play or two? As
no
Troy
question.
Aikman would say, there's make
no
a play?
No question about it. You know, Noah Spence, Lee, I was in the locker room today, and Spence came walking past me.
Uh-huh.
I thought the guy was a safety. I mean...
He lost that much weight?
Talk about undersized. Now, he hasn't had a bad camp, Lee. Hasn't had a bad camp. And they're not counting on him, which I like, because in the past they've counted on him.
Yeah.
And it's really messed them up.
I don't know if I could say he's not had a bad camp. He's had an invisible camp. I don't know if you call it bad. I mean, outside of him turning Caleb Benenuk to a turnstile, which really isn't that much of a skill, he hasn't really stuck out that much.
I'll say this. I'll make one of my little predictions. Of course, last year, as Isbitz told us, my predictions didn't come out too well. Right now, I'm looking at the depth chart.
Uh-huh.
It's only August. They've got Shaq Barrett listed behind Nassib and Mr. Spence at outside linebacker.
Behind Spence?
Behind both of them. He's in the second group.
Holy cow.
I'm going to predict Barrett's going to get more snaps than Spence and perhaps more than Nassib.
For the season. More than Nassib.
Maybe Nassib, but I think more than Spence, and I think you agree with that.
I agree with that. I'm not an anti-Noah Spence. He's always been a nice guy. I feel sorry that what looked like he was on the cusp of turning the corner, and then he blew out his shoulder twice. That stinks.
Do you have any, Lee?
But I have no faith in the guy.
And I said any, Lee. Do you have any concerns about a Ndamukong Suh at this stage of his career with the money he's made and is making? Any concerns that if the Bucks get off to a rocky start,
he'll mail it in?
He could mail it in. Any concerns?
I think there's valid concerns. I mean, he mailed it in last year with the Rams until the playoffs. Then he flipped the switch, and he was dominant. But during this regular season, he was in. He wasn't that good.
That's a red light for you. That's a red light.
It should be a red light to everybody.
I mean, and he's playing next to maybe the best player in football.
Aaron
not
Dowd.
Just the best defensive lineman.
Not just that, but here was a team that was a playoff team the year prior. They had a goal of winning the Super Bowl. Not getting, they're winning.
Getting home field advantage.
Yeah, and he was,
Pedestrian.
He was pedestrian until the playoffs came, and he flipped it on. So if the guy couldn't get motivated playing on a team like the Rams, why would he even be motivated with the Bucks? I don't. And especially if they're out of the running.
And Lee, you would think playing next to Donald, who's fantastic, you could certainly make an argument. He's in the sap category. He's definitely in the sap category.
Sure.
And that's high praise, certainly. Did Sue ever face a double team last year with the Rams when you're playing next to
Donald?
Donald. Yeah. You know,
we've never discussed this, and it came up as this is published. It's about a week and a half old. Warren Sapp going off on Gerald McCoy on Mark Cook's podcast.
You know, I'm ambivalent. I think McCoy brought it upon himself, Lee, with those comments. He should have never said it. Keep your mouth shut about your uniform. Let bygones be bygones and take your frustrations out on the Bucks week two in Charlotte on a Thursday night in prime time. Show that you got juice left. Sapp didn't like those comments from McCoy, and he struck back hard.
I got the impression Sapp took it personally. it was almost like McCoy was lifting himself up.
I hope McCoy was not comparing himself to Sapp. Well, I think McCoy's too smart to do that.
But when he said, you know, my number ought to be retired, Sapp took that personally. Like, wait a minute, you got to do something.
I don't blame Sapp for that. I really don't. And I've always defended McCoy. And so have you.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who says I think he's going in the Ring of Honor and doesn't have a problem with it.
Well, here's one.
Well, he's no warrant. Sapp, and he should be the first to say that.
You know, he was almost saying, look, Sammy Reston have retired number. But you don't. The thing about McCoy, you know, you say McCoy has been, you know, he's a Ring of Honor candidate. And he's been in a Pro Bowl 6 times. He was an All-Pro 1 year. Guess who was in the Ring of Honor that never was in a Pro Bowl and was never a Pro Bowler or All-Pro?
Wouldn't be Gruber, is it?
Yeah. Paul Gruber was never in a Pro Bowl.
So there's your example. There's your example.
He was never in a Pro Bowl, and he played on some lousy teams.
Good, very good player.
Very durable, very good, steady. I mean, Ian Beckles talks like he was Dan Dierdorf or something.
Anthony Munoz. Yeah.
But he was never named to a Pro Bowl. He was never named All-Pro, and he got to the Ring of Honor. So if that's the standard, McCoy's certainly a candidate.
But McCoy made a mistake, Lee, shooting his mouth off. Mm-hmm. If he hadn't done that, I don't think Sapp would have one negative thing to say. He likes McCoy.
They're friends.
But don't be putting yourself with 99 and 55. Don't do it, McCoy.
Don't hoist yourself.
And the Bucks are going to be motivated to neutralize him on that Thursday night. We'll see. I think Carolina's a pretty good team, Lee.
Yeah.
Much depends on Cam Newton's right shoulder, which I believe was hurt a lot more than he gave up last year. We shall see. And Lee, by the time we talk again next week with our podcast, the preseason will basically be over because ain't nobody going to be playing Dallas.
I'll end the podcast with this. I don't know if people read it on Joe Bucks Fan, but you were talking about the Bucks ought to be motivated for McCoy. Ian Beckles on his radio show said, and I'm not making this up, said he hopes Ali Marpet busts Gerald McCoy's chin.
I can't top that, Lee. Nice job, Beckles.